You can overdo the things of Earth life, you know, at times. I think you understand what I mean, and it is so very, very easy to step aside. A Red Indian, already known to us by the name of Pathfinder, came often to the circle and could speak with ease for a quarter of an hour or more. After giving a long address, he was asked once if his interests lay solely on the Earth plane, to which he replied, "No, I work on both sides on the Earth plane and also on the lower planes on this side. I have progressed to a higher plane myself, but I'm doing this work for the Master's sake. The fields are ripe for the harvest, but sometimes the reapers are few. In God's garden of life, however, there are many helpers and workers in the fields of paradise who go out to help their weaker brothers and sisters." It is one of the Indian friends speaking. "I am Pathfinder. I have found a path that led me to higher heights, more beautiful and glorious heights, my lovely home. But I thought of those left behind and prayed that I might be allowed for a little time to act as Pathfinder for my brothers and sisters who need help when they come to this side of life." On one occasion, the members of the circle were discussing amongst themselves, during a silence on the other side, the ignorance and antipathy of the clergy, and of Christians in general, to the truths proclaimed by spiritualism. A gentleman present remarked that their outlook would retard their progress when they reached the other side, until they discarded their false beliefs. Then it was that an Aetherian joined in the conversation and spoke these words, "That is very true, Mr. Cameron. It is not only our own progress on the spirit side of life that we must think of, but we come in contact with many that have not come so far as we have, and we try to help them. Then, in turn, we come into contact with those a long way ahead of us on the road of life, and the knowledge we gain we owe to them." After a friend in Aetheria had told us once how he had endeavored to make up for his failings during his life on Earth, one of us remarked that only by so doing could progress be made. To this he replied, "It is the only way of progression. By helping others we help ourselves. There are many, many friends who are much superior to me in their spiritual outlook that I have not overtaken yet. I have seen them, and talked to them as you are talking to me now, and I am doing the best I can to make myself fit, to attune myself to their sphere. When I do so I shall be with them, and it will be a joyous day when it does come." The subject of progress came up on another occasion when we were told about passing from one plane to another. What was said is given elsewhere, but here is the place to quote the words of an Aetherian about his own personal feelings against leaving his present abode. "What I will ultimately attain to I do not know, but I am quite content to remain where I am at present, and to progress slowly from time to time and feel the vision which is opening up to me so wonderfully. When we traverse the spaces with these brighter ones and communicate with those who have gone on, we get glimpses of the glories to come. I would not, however, be content there. I want to get back to my own associates and to the places where I am established at the present time, and wait for the loved ones who are still on your side of life." A man who was a famous scientist on Earth, and who did much to popularize the belief in the evolution of the species, came back several times to speak to me. He always gave his name, and what he once said is suitable for inclusion in this chapter. This is how he concluded his talk: "Evolution is still my great theme, the thing I am constantly thinking about. Evolution is the key to the universe. Evolution never ends. We are always progressing, progressing, but we retain our individuality. It helps to explain the mystery of existence." He has now realized the mistake he made when on Earth of denouncing spiritualism, and here I take the opportunity, now that this book is drawing to a close, of asking this question: can any sensible person assert that all the 419 quotations given on its pages were spoken by someone living on Earth, in the room where the seances were held? If neither the medium, nor one nor more of the people present, produced the voices, who did? Whence did all we have read come? The circle was a small one, some 8 or 9 people on an average, and no one could speak without it being noticed. And yet for over 40 years no one ever hinted that the medium, or anybody else, was pretending to speak as somebody other than himself or herself. There could be no gadget, contrivance or device to produce the voices from elsewhere by an accomplice. No one, for instance, could produce the voices through a hole in the wall, make them to sound in front of the sitter, and hear what the sitter said and carry on a conversation. When the séance was held in Sloane's own sitting room, it was always searched and any such contrivance would soon have been spotted, but it must be remembered that many of his séances were held in the private houses of people where such devices could not have been installed. Moreover, a number of good evidential séances were held under my direction in the séance room of the Glasgow Society for Psychical Research, and when Sloane arrived he entered the room immediately, sat down, and was never alone until he left at the end of the séance. Sloane's conversation was slow and halting, and it showed no special knowledge of anything beyond his everyday interests, and yet hundreds of thousands of fluent words have been heard, to make up the wonderful and extraordinary communications the people present listened to all these years. As to the possibility of someone in the circle impersonating different dead people, that was impossible, as the voices spoke no matter who was present. Those who made up the circle were always changing, and over 40 years the entire makeup of the circle changed very many times. The extracts given in this book cover séances held over 27 years, the first recorded being on 20th of September, 1918, and the last on 10th of July, 1945. Nevertheless, the same phenomena took place at the first as at the last. Those Aetherians who spoke in 1918 had the same personalities as they had in 1945, the same facts were given about their world and how they lived, and the same elevated teaching continued all those years. The trumpet continued to raise about the room in the same way and touch, but never hurt, anyone. Spotlights continued to move about the room, the consistency of everything is noteworthy, and yet the members of the circle had changed over and over again, many having passed on to become in turn the speakers from the other side. In the later years of his life, Sloane's memory was failing and he had aged, to become a lonely old man whose uppermost thoughts were the prospect of soon being taken to the other world, to be once more with his beloved wife. He suffered from rheumatism and the disabilities of old age, and yet the final sittings he gave, when he was 76 years of age, were amongst the best ever held. Nevertheless, this remarkable man always refused payment and shunned publicity to the last, passing away peacefully on 24th of May, 1951, at 82 years of age, quite unaware of how much his life had meant to humanity. Now to return to the subject of this chapter. Once in the course of a conversation with a friend on the other side, one of the sitters used the word evolution, which was just the word the Aetherian wanted. He was so pleased, and this is what he said, precisely, evolution, that is the correct word. They are not all at the same stage of advancement. It is just what happens all the time. We are just evolving from one stage of spiritual existence to another and become more perfect, and so more able to help others below us. At the present time I am working amongst those who are passing through a war. I am often mixing with them, and telling them, directing them where they should go. The plane in which I live is a little more beautiful than theirs. I mean I should be on a more exalted plane, but I have chosen to do that work and be with them meantime. Another aspect of progress was once put to us by an Aetherian in these words: it comes overwhelmingly upon us when we see intelligences so far ahead of us, and we desire to follow in the footsteps of the great master teacher. In method of progress it means assimilation of the truth which we must take unto ourselves, and that we are willing to obey the will of those above us, and follow in the higher footsteps of those advanced far beyond us. It is not a theme of a day, as you call it, a month or a year. It is of long duration before some rise to this discernment. Do you see what I mean? The urge to rise has no limitation. It remains with us, our desire to follow in the steps of the great teachers who have gone ahead. I once asked a friend who was speaking to me from Aetheria if everyone there could make contact with this earth. To this inquiry he replied, "The higher and more developed we become, the less are we in touch with your world. The more development proceeds, the less do we think of the earth. It is all a question of desire. We can come into contact with earth conditions at will, If the will for doing so is absent, then we do not return to you. In other words, the memory of our earth life gradually fades until our earth life is forgotten, and this seems to me to be an answer to those who believe in reincarnation. Once I put the straight question, do we reincarnate again on earth? To which I received this reply from the Aetherian to whom I was speaking: I have known no one who has been reincarnated on earth. I passed over many years ago, and I have round about me those who lived thousands of years ago on earth. That is all I can say, because my knowledge does not permit me to say more. Another equally unequivocal reply on the same subject was given by a different Aetherian some years later. He said we cannot come back and go through the same again. What they talk about is progress, and never have I heard anyone on the other side speak of coming back to be born again on earth. The butterfly cannot return to enter the cocoon. Remarks like the following were quite common: I was an Indian chief in the old days. I have now been on the spirit side of life for many years, as you know. Time. A lady present on one occasion was greeted by the man to whom she had been engaged on earth before his passing over. Like the others who spoke to us, when referring to being reunited someday with those they love on earth, the same remark was made, namely, that when they meet again there will be no more parting. This is what he said: you know what dark days are, Mary, and I know what dark days are too, but there is a glorious day to follow, which has already dawned on me, and which must dawn sometime on you also. Daybreak will shine, brightness will come, be of good cheer, darling, I will stand by you. When the long last comes, which I hope may not be for a long time yet, and that much happiness may still be your lot in the earth life, but when the time does come, dearest, then at the end of the road we shall clasp hands again. There will be no more partings, no more worry, no more care. Hand in hand, through the eons of eternity, with spiritual love in our hearts, we will help others along and find service and joy in that work. God bless you, darling, no more just now. The same theme ran through the remarks made to a sitter by her mother in Aetheria. It was the sitter's birthday, and her mother's good wishes were given in these words, to end with the daughter feeling that she had been kissed many times. It is a memorable day, Chrissy. It was a memorable day to me and to father too. I was just waiting a chance, my darling, to get in to wish you many happy returns of the day until that birthday comes when you will come over to our side of life, and you and I will be together for all eternity. I just want you to understand. Then addressing the others present in the circle, she said, what happy times Chrissy and I will have when she leaves the physical. I was not able to enter into all the enjoyments that she could enter into before I went away. I was a wee bit forgetful sometimes, but before that we were just like sisters, not like mother and daughter. After a Red Indian had finished talking, a gentleman present once asked someone on the other side if it was possible to take the less developed to the higher planes. This is what he was told by the Aetherian, who spoke in a loud clear voice: we cannot take them, but we tell them what is in store for them, and that when they become more enlightened they can go there. It is not the Indian who is speaking now, but I am not speaking disparagingly, in any way. Many Indians are more advanced and have brighter souls than I have. We are all brothers and sisters, and we all have a time of what one might call evening star, that time of the last final parting with the earth plane, and we say goodbye to all things earthly, so to speak. One goes a little adrift for a little while until one finds one's bearings, or, I should say, until some of the beautiful shining ones meet you and point the way, and tell you where you should go. You have all got to work out your own destiny. There is no doubt about it, work out your own heaven, and rest assured the Great Father will see your labor, and reward you for it. Then the speaker paused for a moment and continued, that is what happens, as you will find when you come to my side of life. You have still to seek further knowledge. It would not be a real world on this side unless there was progress and still further progress, and those who have gone a little ahead, in advance, can always help the stragglers upwards as they go along. They are not all fit to start at a high level, they need a helping hand, and these helping hands are never far away. One meets all classes and conditions of friends on this side of life, and each and all require a helping hand. You cannot transform a soul immediately from the lower grade which he has left to a celestial grade. It is a gradual spiritual progress, and they are always obtaining fresh knowledge and fresh hope from those who are a little further advanced than they are, and who are always very willing to help a weaker brother up towards the brighter and more shining light. He had still much more to say, but this is given elsewhere. In fact, his talk was more in the nature of an address, as it lasted for 10 minutes. Once the question was put about the different stages of development the people were in on the other side, someone asked an Aetherian, who was a healer of Earth people by means of healing rays, if undeveloped bodies are ever to be seen in Aetheria, and this was the reply: not undeveloped. The stage of development is seen by the light or the brightness, the shades of light. We see them in different stages of advancement, and talk with them. There are many beautiful passengers who talk with us at times, and we get great enlightenment from them. He then went on to tell how the etheric body has the same formation as the physical body, and that everyone has a perfect etheric body. His remarks will be found elsewhere. Then he returned to the subject of mental development and concluded with these words: those who have not developed much in earth life just have to rise gradually, and those who have not had any spiritual development are generally taken to spheres where they can be ministered to in the way that they most need. Towards the close of a long address on various subjects, an Aetherian spoke these words: if you have a will to travel in the spheres and God's service in the spirit side of life, you will find ample opportunity. If you are willing to work for the Master, but you will have to comply with his laws and the conditions of life which exist on the spirit side. You cannot take a hop, step, and jump from the side of life which you are on just now, right to the celestial spheres on the spirit side of life. It is work, service and love, which will bring joy and harmony and peace into your inmost souls. Of course, you will always have the knowledge that you are helping someone whom you know has not just reached the stage you have reached, and you will reach out a helping hand to help them up, and those on the higher plane above will immediately put out their hands to help you on a further step again. Progress all the time, until, in God's good time, you reach the fulfillment of a purified soul that can work in harmony with the great spirit of all life. Progress will go on until the full theme and completion of the Master's will is accomplished, and you are able to mix with those shining ones, in a glorified condition, whom you hope to join someday. There is a stage when some of us can know no further. There is a world inside another world, but we have not progressed to that knowledge, nor will we, until we have advanced to a stage much above our present knowledge. When a sitter once said that he liked to be able to give reasons for his belief in spiritualism, he was told by a friend on the other side, "Never argue. Don't, if you take my advice, my brother. Rather tell them about the beauties of this life which you will discover. You are really just an explorer seeking out a new country, and you have acquired a mind which can see and glean something of the beauty of this land, which many others cannot. You will link up with those who have advanced beyond you by and by, and will learn from them. As the great master said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and you are only going to the place which you in earth life, by your life on earth, have prepared yourself for, and then you will progress afterwards by getting into touch with those advanced ones who are ready to help you, and to give you knowledge of things which you do not know, but which will be given to you as you can assimilate and understand them. I am just putting it in the best way I can, and I hope you follow what I mean." During the Second World War, the thoughts of most people were directed to the host of young men, all over the world, who were being ushered into a new life before they had had time to grasp the meaning of this life on earth. What kind of life awaited this multitude of new arrivals, was once asked by one of us, and this is what we were told: it depends much upon the condition of their life before they came to this side, and their inclination to aspire to the higher life. If they have not had that desire in earth life, they will not so speedily advance. Our future, both in this life and in the next, depends on ourselves alone. As we are here, so shall we be there. Our sowing, if good, produces a bountiful harvest. But, if bad, the reverse. If we are selfish on earth, we shall be selfish there. Selfishness is the root of all evil, just as unselfishness is the root of all that is good. Our happiness, or unhappiness, springs from our attitude towards ourselves and to others. No one can save us from our own wickedness and folly, and what we are, and what we become, is for each one to decide for himself or herself. The ancient Egyptians placed in the coffins of the deceased a guide to the next world, wherein was depicted the path the newly arrived soul was to take before he reached the abode of the god Osiris, the judge of the dead. There he was weighed in the balance, and all the good and evil he had done was revealed. The good passed into heaven and the evil into hell. Doubtless this belief encouraged many to live more righteous lives, as it is known that its effect on individual conduct was good, but the guide so dwells on the dangers and difficulties the newly arrived soul has to encounter, the many devils who waylay him, that one wonders how he ever reached his goal. When theology is called in to explain the mystery of death and the hereafter, we may be sure that what is simple will be made difficult, and what is clear will be made obscure. The only way to arrive at the truth is to hear, or read for ourselves, what those who have gone before have to tell us. Thus we find that the smokescreen of doubt, difficulty and uncertainty put up by all the different world religions is due to ignorance, and, when we keep to what our friends in Etheria have to tell us, the road ahead of us is clear and simple for all to understand. As we have already read, our duty in life is to do our best, the highest wisdom is to do good, and, if we do that to the utmost of our ability, our future is bright. Then the universe will slowly unfold before us, and our journey through the spheres, from plane to plane in the ages to come, will bring happiness to ourselves and all with whom we come in contact. There seems to be no end to the way of life. No one could have put in fewer or better words what spiritualism stands for than did Joseph Addison, a contemporary of Swedenborg, a great man of letters, a man of real goodness as well as of eminent genius, who wrote to look upon the soul as going on from strength to strength, to consider that it is to shine forever with new accessions of glory, and brighten to all eternity, that it will be still adding virtue to virtue, and knowledge to knowledge, carries in it something wonderfully agreeable to that ambition which is natural to the mind of man. Graphic of wavelengths. The above chart makes clear how limited are our sense perceptions. Only the black portion represents the visible spectrum. This is all we sense of the innumerable etheric waves making up the universe. The author has been told by his informants in the etheric world that its vibrations just about touch those of the physical world, and at times they can be detected by clairvoyance, by the seeing of etheric beings, called ghosts, and by psychic photography. Etheric waves, however, seem to be different from physical waves, as so far we have discovered no instrument to contact them. End.